Amen. Thank you for that word on tonight. God is good. Amen. And we're blessed to be in the house of the Lord. Yes. I believe the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. For our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. We're blessed tonight and so glad to see each one of you. And this really being the last for this 2017 year, this being the last Tuesday night that we'll see in this year. And it's good to say that you were here on the last Tuesday. Amen. A lot of folks who were here last year this time were not here, not even in the land of the living. But here we are, blessed and highly favored of God, and certainly in spite of all the stuff that's going on, there's a whole lot of stuff going on in this world, and there's a lot of confusion by people who don't know the Lord. But we who know the Lord, what's happening is what the Bible said was going to happen. There are no surprises in God's kingdom. You know, he said in the last days, perilous times were going to come, and men were going to be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Certainly, so we see right before our own eyes, amen, the depravity of man. But it's so good to know that even in evil times like this, God keeps you. You know, if you didn't have a mind on the Lord, it's no telling what you might do. I think Brother Hutchins was telling me some kid, nine-year-old kid jumped into the river. Did he drown? 7 years old. Now, hallelujah. Well, 7 or 9 years or whatever. I mean, you have to wonder what kind of torment was he in. And not only that, this is what we heard about. There are other things we don't even hear about when it comes to kids. And Lord, I'm telling you, there was a time that we needed to pray and petition God on behalf of his people. I mean, you don't know what people are going through inside that house that when the doors are closed, but oh, God knows. And when I was a young boy, I used to love quartet singing, and one of the quartet songs was, God's gonna separate the right from the wrong. You know, it may be going on there, but there's a separation day coming. In all things that are done under the cover, God is going to reveal. So, you know, don't get weary. Amen. The Bible says, don't be weary and well done, for in due season if you don't faint not. Amen. Because the weary day is only going to last for a while. Weeping may endure for a night, he says, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. So we're going to keep on running for the Lord and not get weary in our well done. But we're going to serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. With enthusiasm. Amen. With the resolve that, amen, I am a child of the King, and God knows my every step. He knows my every thought. Matter of fact, the Bible says, I know what you have need of even before you ask it. And sometimes we go through things, and sometimes we don't even have an explanation except to know that the Lord says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. And sometimes when we're going through stuff, the humanness of us say, well, how can I really give thanks? But I'm going to give thanks because it's a faith walk, because the Bible says so. Because sometimes when you're going through what you're going through, if you can find a praise or worship or something in the Lord, you'll find out how sometimes that stuff will dissipate. And Jesus says, I can be touched by the feelings of your trouble. He said, I know what you're going through. I feel you. And that gave me consolation when I'm going through my turmoil. You know, God feels that. And he takes that pain away, and he becomes my substitute for that pain. And I just praise him for his goodness and his mercy. So this has been the last Tuesday of the year. I'm sort of substituting for Dr. Percy tonight. So I just had this prepared. Growing stronger in the Lord. That should be our own personal goal for 2018. Growing stronger in the Lord. Then we're going to use scripture text tonight, Philippians 3, 13 through 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, and Matthew 18, 5 through 22. And again, we're going to be talking about growing stronger in the Lord. I think I have one that's not on there. Let me go to my Microsoft Word. I thought I had the whole thing on there, but I need to pull up my introduction. I don't know why it's not on there, but I thought I put it on there. So just give me a minute, pull it up. Not on my PowerPoint, but it should be on my Microsoft Word here. And, you know, it just, you know, times are moving on. So what I said in my, let me go back here. Hold on a minute. I'm getting there. I guess it's 20 December. Okay. December 28th already. Well, okay. Christmas is gone. Okay. God is good. Okay. Okay, 12, 20. I think the gremlins have been in my iPad. But hold on a minute. It's in there. Just have to keep. Okay, here we go. Okay. Okay, here's what I had as my opening. Let's see where it is. Something strange is going on here. Okay. Okay, come on. What I had was a prelude to what I wanted to talk about, and I'm sure I saved it both places. It's not the only time this has happened. Electronic media. Okay, let me see here. Okay. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, here we go. Okay, let me go. I think I know where. Let me go toward the tail end. There we go. I knew it was on here. Okay, I wanted to go through this right quick before I go to the scripture text And that pretty much says, as we approach the end of 1 year and in the interest into of another, we should take inventory of our relationship with the Lord. Some of the questions we should ask ourselves are, as we go into 2018, trying to get strong in the Lord, am I as strong in the Lord as I should be? You could ask yourself that. Am I really as strong in the Lord as I should be? In all of these years I've been walking with the Lord, am I really as strong as I should be? Okay, ask yourself that. Number two, have I gone backwards, forward, or stayed the same during 2017? Have I moved forward? Have I gone backwards? Or did I stay about the same? Well, that's an important question to ask. Because in each one of these categories, if you remain the same, there's something happened that caused you to be that. If you moved forward, there's something that caused it. If you remain about the same, there's a cause for that. And you got to wonder, what is it? Number three, what can I do to get stronger in the Lord? You have to have a strategy. If you're not where you ought to be, you have to have a plan to get to where you need to be. It's no different than going to school for a trade. You know, what do I have to do to become a carpenter or an electrician or a plumber? What should I do? Can I just sit and say, I want to be a plumber? And automatically, I'm going to be a plumber? No. There is a strategy that you have to divide. There's a certain amount of schooling that you have. You need somebody's apprenticeship you got to have. And you got to go through those things to get to where you ought to be or what you want to be. It's the same thing when it comes to your soul. And what have you done? Amen. What can you do to make yourself stronger? And I think, okay, number four, what have I done in 2017 to make myself go backwards, forward, or stay in the same? What, no matter what your status is now, what did you do to make yourself that way? And nobody but you. We make individual decisions. The preacher can't make you do it. Your parents can't make you do it. Your wife can't make it. Your husband can't make you do it. It's an individual choice. You ask yourself, what have I done to make me whatever status I happen to be? Then five, if I have any baggage that is preventing my growth in the Lord, do I want to drag it into 2018? Too many zeros. No, that's one or two. That should be out of there. Okay. Yeah. Do I have any baggage that I'm carrying in 2000? Am I gonna drag that into 2017? That's the question you ask yourself. And the last one, we should ask ourselves, who is to blame or take the credit for my current status? Who is gonna blame it on? Whatever your status is, you're stronger in the Lord, you're weaker in the Lord, or you're about the same, who's responsible for that? And you know the answer, you. You know, but sometimes we want to blame somebody else for us not being where we ought to be. It had not been for Sister So and been for Brother So and So, I would be higher in the Lord. No. What that brother or that sister did to you or against you ought to make you stronger. It shouldn't make you weaker. Your trials you go through, these things are what make you strong in the Lord if you overcome them. But some people allow opposition and adversity, amen, to cause them not to grow in the Lord. Called them and stay away from church. I know that sister looked at me funny. That brother looked at me funny. They didn't shake my hand last Sunday. They looked at me cross-eyed. Hey, maybe they got bad eyes, you know. But all kinds of little things that cause us not to grow. You know, if you don't like spinach, eat cauliflower. If you don't like cauliflower, eat cabbage. Okay. Eat greens, eat squash. You know, eat something. Don't sit there and starve and die. Maybe a whole lot of stuff. I think one of the President Bushes, didn't he said he didn't like broccoli then, he don't like it now. I think it was broccoli. I don't like broccoli. And a lot of folks love broccoli. I don't like broccoli either. But a lot of folks love broccoli. But just because I don't like broccoli, it doesn't mean I'm not going to eat. Same thing when I come to church, because so-and-so don't like me, you know. I'm going to get what I can to nourish my spiritual being. Same thing, you take in what you need to nourish your natural body, you got to take in what nourishes the spiritual man. And sometimes we don't do that. So I think going back to the end, to the beginning of it, I think the main text here gives you a pretty good example. What the Apostle Paul says, he said, it's Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't understand everything, you know. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are what? Behind, and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, there's a mark out there I want to reach. I'm not going to look behind me. I'm not going into 2018, looking back over 2017, what folks did to me. I'm not taking that baggage into 2018. But some folks are going to drag that same old baggage. Now, 1 year is long enough to have drag it. You you unload that baggage and go into a new year. But sometimes we let things that happen way back, and some folks are still harboring stuff that happened years ago and think they're going to grow in the Lord. It's not going to happen. Matter of fact, when you harbor stuff in your heart and your mind, it affects you physically and spiritually. Physically, you get ulcers, you get high blood pressure and heart attacks and all these kinds of things, worrying about or stewing over stuff that happened way back yonder. I don't say you can remember all that stuff that long. But that clouds your mind and it keeps you from growing in God. Because no matter, because even when you're trying your best to do what the Lord wants you to do, and stuff that happened to you, sometimes the devil will bring that back to your mind. And you got to learn how to rebuke that. Amen. I don't care how you know, or you might see that person or some incident on TV reminds you what happened to you way back. Then the devil won't take you back there, and then all of a sudden it ruins your day. No. Not worried about that. A whole lot of bad stuff has happened to me in my lifetime. I don't get up in the morning. Boy, I wish I just had it sucked in. If I could just sucked in one time, I would feel so much better. No, I'm not going to let that stuff keep coming up and keep coming up, because all it's going to do is stymie my growth in God. I'm concerned about my growth in the Lord. Jesus said, when I come back, will I find any faith on earth? Look at them wishy-washy folks all over the world. When I come back, will I find any faith? He was concerned about that. Sometimes we talk a good game, but living it is a different story. So Paul says, I don't know everything. I have not apprehended. I'm not there. I don't understand everything. But one thing I do know, I ain't gonna let that stuff that behind me prevent me from going forward. He said, "I'm gonna do what? Press. It's not gonna happen automatically. You gotta press. There's something you gotta press your way through." I mean, you have the bulldog tenacity spiritually. I'm going to press my way through this. Yes, this happened to me, but you know what? I'm better than that. I'm stronger than that. And you got to talk to yourself. It's okay to talk to yourself. It's okay to talk back to yourself. Amen. It's okay to answer yourself. Some folks say it's okay to talk to yourself, but talk to yourself, but don't answer. You know, it's okay to answer yourself. Amen. You say, I'm stronger. Yes, I am. You got to tell you, you know. But Paul said, I'm not going to let that stuff bother me. I'm gonna press toward the mark. Got a marker that I want to meet. Okay, so we talked about, are you stronger? Or if you're not, if you're about the same, are you going backwards? Are you moving forward or what have you? And what is it that caused you not to be as strong as you should be? Paul said, he set a mark, or you set a goal. And some folks call them New Year's resolutions, which they don't very seldom keep. But they call them New Year's resolutions. You know we do that? But God said it's better not to make a vow if you're not going to keep it. It's better not to even make it than to make one and not keep it. It's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not keep it. So we break them. A lot of folks break them the next day. He said, there's a mark out there that I'm reaching for, and I'm gonna press my way to meet it. Now, this is Second Corinthians chapter 5:17. Therefore, if any man, that means any of us, be in Christ, he's what? He is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, some things. Y'all asleep. Y'all. All things are become what? New. It's a new me. It's a new year. It's a new me. And when I'm in Christ Jesus, the old fight back spirit that I had is no longer there. The vengeful spirit that I had is no longer there. He said that what I used to do, he said, now I'm a new creature. And when I come in Christ Jesus, all that old stuff shouldn't be with you. And that's what happens so many times. Folks come on the Lord's side and they want to drag all this stuff they had before they came into the church. No. If I pull everything into the church that I went through back in my lifetime, whoo, boy, I tell you, I would need a bulldozer to pull it. Amen. But people do that. That's just a tactic of the devil. He doesn't want you to progress. But I'm going on. What did the song say? Hallelujah, anyhow. Never let your troubles get you down. When troubles come your way, lift your hands up high and say hallelujah anyhow. Sometimes you got to have that hallelujah anyhow praise. And we're going into 2018, and you have to make a determination to get moved higher in the Lord. God's got things for all of us to do. But we can't do that with our minds so occupied with so many other things. I will keep you in perfect peace. You keep your mind stayed on me. We keep our mind stayed on other things. And because of that, you know, we don't move forward like we should. Now, I'm sure everybody sitting here right now, if you start reminiscing about, you know, have I really done all the things that God required of me, and 2017 is almost over with. Have I been as faithful to the Lord, to His church, as I should have been? Have I thanked the Lord like I should have been thanking Him? Have I done the things that God expects for me to do? If you say no, then that means you got to devise a strategy to do it. It all begins in the mind, because you have to decide to do that. What did the songs? I have decided to what? Follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world before me. Is that it? The cross before me. The world behind me. I've decided to follow Jesus. And that's a decision each one of us have to make. And for 2018, my decision is I'm going to be stronger in 2018 with more determination than I had back here. Progress, you have to be made. You have to make progress. Just like a child, baby. You know, if a grown up, if when you were a little child and you used to couldn't get what you want to get, and you threw a temper tantrum. If you're grown, you can't do that. You're going back to your childhood. Praise the Lord. Amen. No, I'm not a child anymore. Paul said, when I was a child, what I thought as a child. He said, but when I became what? A man, what did I do? I put away childish things. So he admitted that. I thought, I acted like that, I did everything of the child. But when I became a man, or you want to return that around, say when I was in the world, I did what the world did. I acted like the world. I ran around with the world. But when I came out of the world into the church, I left those worldly things out there, and I became a part of the family of God, and all those things are behind me. And that's what we have to do if we want to progress in God. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Now, we're talking about, if I have not done, what can I do to grow strong in the Lord? What we said, you know, Paul said, forget about that old stuff that's holding you back, and set a mark for yourself. Then here, Paul talks to his son Timothy. Here's what he says. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He said, don't be a weakling. Be strong. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many brethren, witnesses, the same commit unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore what? Endure what? Hardness. Ooh. You gotta go through something to live in this world. The Bible said, he that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But Peter said, after that which you suffered a while, God will establish you, settle you, and make you perfect. So he said, look, Timothy, don't be no crybaby, you're a preacher. No, you have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. How many good soldiers of Jesus Christ do we have? Do we sing that song? I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. But are you really? Are you a real soldier? Soldiers stand and fight. They're not turncoats. When the battle gets hot, you can't run. You got to stand there and fight, no matter what the circumstances are. So you ask yourself then, am I stronger? As strong as I should be in my walk with God? And only you can answer that question. But I think it's a very important question for us, each one of us, to ask ourselves, because we're going to be challenged on every hand. The enemy comes our way and he decides to just thwart our progress. And I've seen, unfortunately, I've seen people who were in the church, and they had this powerful testimony, and they were worshiping God. So supposedly, I thought they were, praising, magnifying God, testifying powerfully about the works of the Lord and how they love the Lord and how they want to praise and do what God wants them to do. Then they went back. What happened? What is it that a person who's strong in the Lord, they always in church and they always have a testimony, always praising God, always had a smile on their face, and but all of a sudden, it's a 180 degree turn. They turn completely around, going the other way. Why? You ever ask yourself, why did that sister do that? Why did that brother do that? I know at least two people. I really wasn't really saved. I wasn't saved, and I finally got saved, but wasn't been saved that long. So like a new saint in the Lord, and watching these two people, I mean, they powerful testimonies, and testimony so much till tears be coming down, you know. I'm saying to myself, ooh, boy. But they turned and went back. And this one brother said, most of the times when he testified, he talked about all that he'd been through in his lifetime. Now he's found the Lord, and he began to say, I ain't never going to turn back. He always turned in his testimony by saying, I ain't never going to turn back. That's what he said. I'm never. Man, he just said that emphatically. He never. But he did. And what happened? Did somebody knock on his door one night and say, if you testify again, it's going to be your last time? I don't think so. What happens a lot of times, the little bitty things come in. The Bible said it's the little foxes that destroy. It didn't happen overnight. Something crept into his spirit a little bit at a time. A temptation there, a temptation here, a little word said here, a little word said there, and all this stuff began to accumulate in his mind, I believe, and little by little, they said, I'm not going to church today. Yeah, I'm not going to church next Sunday either. I'm going this Sunday, then next time I'm going to stay out a month. And pretty soon, then I'll come back. Next time, I'll stay out 2 months, and pretty soon, you're out altogether. That's where it happens. That's how shrewd the devil is. I'm 81 years old. I know the devil, Brother Hutchinson. I know his tricks. And I don't care how long you've been saved, he's gonna talk to you, man. Don't let me tell you, don't put stuff and talk to you, man. Yes, he will. He will talk to you stuff that's not of God. And you got to make a decision to accept it or reject it. Jesus was tempted. The Bible said he was tempted in all, but yet without sin. And you think you're going to get through him without him tempting you? Yeah, but that's where your strongness in God is going to come in. The devil is shrewd. But you have to have made up mind. So what would cause those who had their long walk with God all of a sudden just turn their back on God and have? And that just the two people that I know, that I knew. And of course, there could be probably thousands of others who did the same thing. And we can't be harsh on people who do that, are being critical of them, because that's not the Bible. I think in Galatians, the 6th chapter, I believe, he said, brethren, talking about the church, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, what? Restore such a one. Sometimes that's what the church misses, I think. Instead of restoring somebody, they want to. No. Our whole aim should be restore that brother, that sister. But we're living in an age now when all they want to do is spread your news all over town about sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, instead of saying, pray. Let's pray. Let's pray for our brother and our sister. Our whole aim should be the restoration of a person who falls, because who knows what's going to happen to you down the road. You're going to need somebody's mercy. Amen. Anybody? I don't believe they did. No. I was still there. I stayed there years and years after that, and I never knew. This sister didn't think about it. When this sister went back, she just looked so much different, like the world was beating her down. You know, she was you have a certain countenance when you're saved and you're happy and you got that smile and look like you're doing. But her whole countenance changed, as if the devil was beating her down. And you know, that's what he does. He make you look old before time. That's what he did. That's what I think happened to Dr. Persley. You get you so you can't come back. Get you so deep and so frustrated, and because sometimes he just keep heaping stuff on you. Then when the church doesn't act the way it should act, then it's even worse. Because that can be a time you get out there and you can't get back. It has happened. And I pray to God that it doesn't happen to me and it doesn't happen to you. I want somebody to pray for me. If I make a mistake, son, Lord, pray for me. Hallelujah. Boy, you've been pastoring all that time. I knew he wasn't saved anyway. I thought the same way. You know, that's what folks say. They really say that. No. Your aim should be restoration. I don't care whether brother, sister, pastor, bishop, whoever that person was. Our whole objective should be to restore them. The Bible says, while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. Anyway, we weren't saved. He said he died for us while we were in our sin. And greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. He called us his friend. So you got to say, am I stronger? Am I stronger than the Lord? That I should be. Okay, we get ready to wind down. Okay. Okay, now, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 22. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, if somebody do something against you, what does the Bible says? Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Don't go spreading all over the church what brother so-and-so did, sister so-and-so did to me. Look up there shouting, up there reading the Bible. You know what they did to me yesterday is a shame. The pastor let them up there. Listen, y'all. I've been dealing with church folks for 50-some years. But the Bible said, no, you go to that person by yourself. Don't tell them, don't spread everybody what brother so-and-so did. All you trying to do is pull them down. You already, no. He said, no, you go alone between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Brought him back into the fold. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And
If you shall neglect to hear them, will you and the two or three other brothers and sisters tell it unto the church? But if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee a heathen, then a man of a sinner. Publican means sinner. Okay. No, that's the last part we can go. He doesn't hear the church. Then let him be what he is. Listen. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he says, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall speak, it shall be done to them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, some folks won't come to church because there's only two or three folks here. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the folks want to know. No, the Bible said the downward road is crowded. Amen. But the narrow way that leads to heaven, there'll be a few, won't be a few folks there. That's just what my Bible says. There am I in the midst of them. If you got two or three folks, God said, I'm in the midst of them. Then Peter asked him a question. Peter says to him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me or do me wrong and I forgive him? Seven times? Can I just knock him out after seven on the eighth round? Can I get him in the eighth round? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto these until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Man, you ain't even close by when you're supposed to forgive somebody. Well, then what's intended, infinity, you know, there's no limit how many times you're supposed to forgive somebody. And that's when you know you're growing, where somebody can do something to you, and you're going to get it right, and you're not going to try to dig up other folks to get and turn them against that person. That's what's happening a lot of times in the church. Because then you're not going to grow. The person who did the wrong is not growing. And because you're not getting it right, you're not growing either. Even though you might not have started the episode, but because of the attitude you had when it happened to you, now both of you on the downward road, and you're never going to go strong in that way. You go strong by overcoming those things. You know, people out there sitting there in the office typing all day. I had a job that you didn't do a whole lot. You just sat behind the desk and you made orders and sent folks to do this. That's a soft job, they call. But the people out there in that construction, they working, I mean, maybe you have them big biceps, my goodness, they can pick up stuff because they went through something. And hell, skinny old me, I've not been picking up anything. I'm going to try to pick up this desk. I'm going to break my back. If I want to be strong, I got to do stuff to make me strong. If I'm in the office and I'm not doing a whole lot of work like that, then I need to go to the gym. I need to walk. I walk right now 5 days a week. I don't care what it is. I go and walk 5 days a week. Now, if I didn't walk 5 days a week, I'd probably be on two crutches. But because I walk. I walk. But if I don't do it, I'm not going to be strong. If you don't walk in the Spirit, you're going to be a weakling. It's just that simple. It's time for us to be strong in the Lord. Grow strong. Is that the last one? Amen. See. Okay, let me see. Okay, I think I have one more. Maybe. No, that may be it. So we want to go strong in the Lord. I think that's it. Let me see what else I got. Okay. This is my back where I started. As we approach the end of this year, going out of 2017 into 2018, we should take inventory of our relationship with the Lord and ask yourselves those questions that I proposed before
Am I stronger than I was when 2017 started? Am I weaker? Have I gone forward? Have I gone backwards? Where am I? Then once you find out, take your inventory, find out where you are, accept, how did I get here? And you know how you got there. You know how, I know how I got where I am. You know why you got where you are. And I can't look around and blame Sister Lisa on anybody else. God said, every man shall give an account for every deed done in his body, not somebody else's. Nobody else can speak for you. You got to speak for yourself. You can't get to heaven and say, Lord, if the sister hadn't just said that one thing, I mean, I was doing all right. But when he said that, he touched the nerve. Amen. Hell, the hot fire gonna touch the nerve too, and you're gonna be able to get out of it. But you can't. I can't excuse my way. You can't excuse your way. I know what it takes for me to get strong in the Lord, and every day I'm trying harder and harder to do it. And it's not a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. It's an uphill journey. Because I don't care how long you've been saved, how long you've been in the Lord, how long you've been in church, the adversary is out there looking everywhere you go. Amen. He make you go to the grocery store, and you get ready to go into a parking space. Somebody put it in before you do. Then you find out how really strong you are. Or somebody say something bad about your grandkid or your kid. Oh, Lord, have mercy. No. These are real things that happen to church folks. And they get boiling mad. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. Sometimes parents at a football game or a basketball game, somebody behind you, take him out, he's just messing up. And the parents said, you better shut up. those are the kinds of things you find out whether or not you're really saved. Amen. But when you're strong, you hear, but you don't hear. Amen. I've been in church 81 years. I'm not a novice, and I've been preaching about 50 some years, pastoring about 40 some years, and I've seen just about everything in church. And if I wasn't strong, I probably wouldn't be standing up here. Because people do certain things to tempt you. Because I remember somebody told me one time, did you see so and so on the front seat? And I said, what, who? I didn't see it because I wasn't looking for it. They expect me, did you see that? No, I didn't. Amen. But I've seen people do certain things, and you have to know when you're strong in the Lord, you recognize the devil's tactics. See, what gets us sometimes, it's hard for us to differentiate between the devil and God. No, I don't have any problem with that. I know when it's the devil. I know how God operates. I know how the enemy operates. And because the devil tried to mimic God. I mean, he'll present something to us that looks so clean and crystal clear. But something in your spirit says, That's called the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power to do that. Not me, but even with that power, you still have to be alert. You can't assume anything. Amen. Just because somebody pat you on the back and say good things about you, they don't mean they're for you. Sometimes they're setting you up.
then you got to be able to recognize a setup. Because I'll tell you this story. I haven't even told my wife this story. Then I'm going to quit. After my wife passed away, you know, everybody in church was looking for a husband. Hallelujah. Oh, that must be you. Amen. And I finally saw all these rumors are going around. I finally got up one Sunday morning. I said, look, I'm not going to marry either one of y'all. Not a sister in this church will I marry. Because my wife, I respect my wife that much. She was your first lady, and some of y'all didn't like her. And I ain't going to marry you, thinking I'm marrying somebody that didn't like my wife, and I love. So that quieted that down. So one sister invited me to dinner, and I took a mother with me. You know? But when I went into the doctor person, when I went into, you just read between the lines, when I went into the bathroom to wash up for dinner, on the back of the bathroom door was hanging something that she put there. Y'all didn't hear me. You didn't have to be no genius to figure out what that meant. But I said, that's the worst thing they could have done. Even if I had thought about her, that would have turned me against her, period. But what I'm saying, the devil is, and you have to understand, it was no accident. That was planted there. That's a tactic that the devil puts in your way. Looks like a no harm thing. But you got to recognize his tactics and don't yield to it. All of us gonna be tempted, but I'm gonna end up with this. All of you're gonna be tempted, I'm gonna be tempted, but God gave us a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Go read it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. That's what he says. So we have the victory over the devil. So we hope that in 2018, we're just going to not carry any garbage, any baggage from 2017. We want to go into 2018 with a clean slate and move up higher in the Lord. God bless you. Put your hand together and thank, praise God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord bless. And speaking of 2018, you know, this coming Sunday, we're not going to have regular Sunday morning service. We're going to start our Sunday service at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Have about an hour break. Then at 10 o'clock, we're going to start our New Year's Eve service. Combine both of them. Have a message, a regular service between 7 and 9. We'll have our service starting at 10 with foot washing and communion, and a word from somebody, 15-minute message from Dr. Persley before midnight. Going to prayer at midnight. Then after the midnight prayer is over, we're going to have another message for the new message of 2018 brought to us by evangelist Erica Duncan. Then after that, we're going to get our new 2018 calendar. And then by that time, the brethren should have all the food cooked. We have sausage, bacon, pancakes, eggs. Last year we had fried potatoes and orange juice in there. We have the whole thing. And then we're going to just sit down and eat together. And bring the new year in. Then because of that activity, normally we have Bible class that Tuesday. We're not going to have that Bible class. We'll be back the first Sunday, so give you the Tuesday off, sort of rest up from, that long night. Amen. Everybody got that? Amen. Praise God. Anybody? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. End of the announcements. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Continue to pray for those that are sick among us. Amen.
a lot of sicknesses going around, and pneumonia and flu and all that kind of stuff. I want to pray for those who might be sick in their bodies. Amen. I hope you got your flu shot. Amen. I'm the old military man. When I was in the military, you didn't volunteer for a flu shot. They told you when to go get it. And you better not miss it. Not 1 year that I missed a flu shot. So that sort of became a part of my routines ever since. So I just automatically get one every year. So, and I got my pneumonia shots when I should have gotten them and all that. So one shot I didn't get, the doctor said, "You ever had a shingles shot?" I said, "No, I don't want one." "Well, you might get it." "Well, I might, but I don't know. I said, shingles don't run in my family. I know if you get it, it's painful." But I said, "No, that's one shot I would not take. I'm taking no shot I don't have to." But preventive maintenance, so that's what they're trying to do. But flu shot, everybody should take. And the flu, taking the flu shot won't give you the flu. Somebody said, "It'll give you the flu." Well, I've been taking it for about, what, 60, almost 65 years. I never gave me the flu. Evangelist Jones. Who? Oh, say Sister Richard's son. Amen. Praying for Sister, Brother. Yeah, praying for. Hey, tell him we said hello. We're praying for him. Pray for Justin, because when Justin was way back in the day when we first started our Hamburg Hot Dog Fest, Justin would always come help us set up. You know, he hit that pesky guy. He could move the tables and chairs. And I said, "Justin, you come to help?" Yeah, he was always there to help us. So we thank God for him. We're going to pray for him that God would certainly bring him out without any complications from his accident. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you tonight for Brother Justin. Touch him right now from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord Jesus. Give him complete wholeness. Let there be no complications from his accident, Lord Jesus. Make him whole in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, send your word and heal him. You said in your word that you wounded for our transgressions, you were bruised for our iniquities. Your chastisement, our peace was upon you, and with your stripes, we are healed. Justin is healed. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Amen. Let's be careful. No, we're cold weather's out there. Maybe don't do like I see some folks. They think it's still springtime. Folks, my old folks are still, boy, that's pneumonia weather. Put your cover your head. You know, we used to go out with no hat on and shirt all open. You know, that's a recipe for pneumonia. God bless you. Glad to see my sister back. Praise God. God bless you. Amen. We claim in 2018 to just be one of those banner years. We're revving up to wage war. Amen. We're going to be what? Warriors. 2018 warriors. Amen. No scared of cats. Go out in the highways and hedges and compel, man. I just feel it in my bones. God's going to move in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Won't you stand? God bless you. We love you. And hope that you had a very Merry Christmas, and certainly wish for you and your family a very prosperous, blessed new year. And just meet us here Sunday night at 7 p.m., and God will bless you real good in Jesus' name. Lord, I praise you right now for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for those who gathered here tonight to be a part of this service. I thank you, Lord, that help us to go stronger in you. Oh, let's go strong in the power of your might. You told us to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Make us stronger as we go forward. Oh, God, doing the work you've assigned our hands to do. In the name of Jesus. Bless, continue to bless Justin tonight, Lord Jesus. Bless those that are sick among us, those that are out in darkness. Bring them to this marvelous light of salvation. And oh, God, bless us. We come to the close of 2017. We thank you for this wonderful year. And we look forward to the year that's ahead. All that we do, let us do it all to your glory. We thank you tonight. Bless us now as we get ready to go down from this place, Lord, over the dangerous streets, the highways and the byways. Let your love and your peace and your joy that surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and our minds at perfect peace. And we shall give you the glory and the praise. Is our prayer in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, amen. Be praying for the Smith. They're not here tonight because it took Sister Smith and sister back up to Cincinnati. So they're probably on the road now coming back. So Cincinnati is not a good place to get around in. So be praying for them in Jesus.